I'm Jamila Crumple with Delmarva Public Radio News. Sergeant Michael Brodka is a weapons squad leader in the United States Army. In November of 2009, he began his nine-month tour in Iraq. In addition to one other infantry division, his company was the last combat unit to leave Iraq when combat operations were shut down in August of 2011. The Princess Anne native said he was inspired to serve in the military by his grandfather, a fellow infantryman who took part in the Normandy invasion. Brodka said growing up, he envisioned being on the front lines during a war.
When I was a small boy, I used to read a lot of books on the Civil War, and I would watch PBS all the time. There's always some sort of documentary on about World War II, or like Vietnam documentaries. I grew up looking at stories of these extraordinary men who were doing amazing acts of valor out of duty to their country. My grandfather would tell me amazing stories of the guys that he fought with, and that's the kind of man I wanted to be, so I decided to join the military.
Brodka enlisted in the Army in November of 2007. He said he received mixed responses from friends and family, but nonetheless an outpouring of support.
For the most part, everybody was very supportive. Both my mom and my dad were. Of course, they were a little bit hesitant, knowing that at the time I joined during the surge in Iraq. My friends, a lot of people, even though they didn't necessarily agree with the war, you know, they supported me because this is something I wanted to do.
Brodka said during his 15 weeks of basic training, the possibility of being sent to Iraq dominated his thoughts and his life. He said when he finally received his orders to deploy to Iraq, he felt a sense of excitement. Understandably, he said he was also fearful. That fear and anxiety was amplified when Brodka finally landed in Iraq.
For the first few missions, it was hard. It was almost debilitating. You know, you almost were frozen in fear because when you go outside the wire, you never know if you're going to get hit by a sniper that you didn't know was there, or a 500-pound bomb may go off underneath your vehicle and just vaporize you. So at any moment, you could die. And so that's always in the back of your mind.
The 26-year-old said he still has vivid memories of Iraq, including his first day in the country.
I remember it very, very well, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. We were flying into the north of Iraq in the Kirkuk province to a large airbase there, and we got off the Air Force plane, and I just remember it was evening time, and this wave of different things hit me. I could smell burning trash, burning oil, and you could tell that it was mixed with some sort of burning fecal matter as well. And just this terrible stench. You know, I heard gunfire in the background. You know, I heard explosion. You look up and you see green chasers go in the air, and that's exactly when it hit me. As soon as I saw that, you know, I knew right then and there that, hey, I'm in a war zone.
The tracers that Brodka refers to are bullets that produce a green glow to help soldiers differentiate between friendly fire and enemy fire. Brodka said that one of his main purposes in Iraq was to build relationships with Iraqi civilians, which was accomplished through peaceful missions.
But the main part of what we did was we made sure, one, that the Iraqi people were secure from any insurgency activity, any stuff happening from the terror cells and that sort of thing. But in addition to that, you know, we helped build a school. We gave security for a well that was being dug. We would give them school supplies. So, you know, every time we went to a town, we were always well welcomed.
Brodka said his platoon often played games with Iraqi children, but he said he resisted the temptation to introduce the children to his favorite American full-contact sports.
Did you incorporate your reputation as a top-tier dodgeball player into your activities over there?
I would have loved to have done that. In fact, I would have loved to have taken it out to the children of Iraq and taught them the awesomeness that is American dodgeball. But I figured that either dodgeball or American football, having a soldier with 100 pounds of gear on tackle their children, probably not a good message for the Iraqi people.
Brodka said that while he saw the positive work that was being accomplished in Iraq, he said the war should have had a shorter timeline.
Unfortunately, we ended up having to stay to help them rebuild the country a lot longer than we had intended to. And every day, people would thank us for our role there, and you felt good about what you're doing. But the cost to the American people and to the Iraqi people after 9 years of war was so high, and a lot of people don't think that it may have been worth it. But for my opinion, while I was there, and even now, though I think it took a little longer than it should have, I still think in the end it was worth it.
Brodka said when he returned to the United States in July of 2010, he struggled with readjusting to civilian life.
First week I was back, I just wanted to fly back to Iraq. When you're in Iraq, or any war zone for that matter, you have to at some point realize that you're going to die. After a little while in Iraq, I came to the realization that, you know what, I'm going to die here. And after that, I didn't care anymore. And because of that, I was always on edge. You always had this high state of adrenaline. And when you come back to the United States, you don't need any of that. Obviously, you're not in that kind of danger. And just driving down the road, you see a box on the side of the street. And in Iraq, that'd be an IED, and you could get blown up. But in America, it's just a box. I had a really hard time, and I still do from time to time, being around crowds. There could be a suicide bomber. There could be somebody with a gun. I suffered from combat stress for a while, which anybody who went to Vietnam knows. You know, it's very similar to shell shock, just a different term for it. Mentality of being a soldier in survival mode and then coming back to America and trying to readjust. It's a very difficult thing.
Brodka said being in Iraq for 9 months had a tremendous role in shaping him, not only as a soldier, but also as a person.
I got a better overall picture of the world. And you see a war-torn country, and you see people just like you. They have the same feelings and emotions, and they want some of the same things you do. They want to have freedom. And I think the other thing is, too, when I was there, I grew up a lot. I had a lot of responsibility on me. I went there as a team leader, so I had soldiers under me, and I was responsible for bringing them back alive. You also have the responsibility of, at any time, in any moment, if somebody's about to kill you, you have to be ready and willing to take their life at a moment's notice. So that, too, makes you grow up quick because you have the power of life and death in your hands.
Sergeant Brodka is currently stationed at the Fort Bliss Army Post in Texas. His active duty contract ends in 3 months. After that, he said he will join the National Guard part-time and begin pursuing a master's degree in literature. Brodka said in the future he would like to join a mountain search and rescue team. The former Princess Anne resident said he misses the people and the simplicity of the Eastern Shore.
I grew up near Chrisfield. I always go down the docks with my dad, and we'd get fresh oysters off the boat, fresh crabs. I'd see the sunrise up over the bay. Absolutely gorgeous. The most wonderful hues of blues and purples and oranges and pinks in the sky reflected across the water. Absolutely unparalleled anywhere else.
He sends this message to his family and friends in the area.
Hi, Mom. Love you, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you, Dad, if you're listening. All my friends, too numerous to name. I love you. I miss you. And I hope to be back someday soon to visit everybody.
That was Sergeant Michael Brodka, Weapons Squad Leader in the United States Army. I'm Jamila Crumple with Delmarva Public Radio News.